I'm not gonna lie. Most of the pandemic, I thought I might die. 6 feet deep with my ego and pride. What a time to be alive. Haven't even made it to 35. Now I feel like I might be in my prime. Sunny days come when you get through the night. What a time to be alive.
Kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. We are on the air and Denise has just walked into the studio, so that's really great. We're looking forward to a great show today. We've got Pastor's Corner at 1 o'clock, so that'll be interesting. And before that, we've got some good sounds and me and Denise are going to unpack some blogs, I'm sure. So we're just going to get ready and we'll get into it.
The shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking, till love came calling. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
6 feet under, I thought it was over, and answered a prayer, the voice of a savior. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. I thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. All it was, I came alive. This beating heart, these open eyes, the gate.
Here we are. We're at Faith Matters, and I've got Denise in the studio. Kia ora, Denise.
Hello.
So good to be here. Beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Oh, it is so nice. I just love when the weather's settled. Like yesterday was on again, off again, on again, and I didn't know which direction it was going to go. So
yeah, well, I didn't really believe the weather man when he said it was going to be fine today. I was looking outside last night thinking, it's pretty gnarly out there. It was cold last night, huh?
Yeah, it's actually, the wind's cold today too, yeah. But the sun's beautiful if you can find shelter.
So we've got an interesting show on today. I feel very echoey, but maybe that's just in my earphones, I'm not sure. We've got Denise on, so we're going to unpack some of her blog. And we've also got Pastor's Corner coming up at 1 o'clock. That's always going to be an interesting place to be. We're going to talk about community and faith, as we do in this part of our show too, Denise. Mm-hmm. And today I wanted to put things on the line a little bit. I wanted to go back a few steps and to the title of Denise's blog, which is called Becoming Unoffendable. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, Denise.
I feel like this is going to be a scary question.
It's a pretty simple question. How's that going for you? This is actually the name of Denise's blog and her page and everything, and she writes blogs under this heading that have different titles to them, but her main theme of her blog is Becoming Unoffendable. And I think, wow, that's such a big title. Denise, and every time I get upset in life now, I'm like, okay, how do I become unoffendable? Like, how do I do this? Walk the unoffendable line. What's it look like? What's this road going to be like?
Yeah.
So I think it's a great title. It's a great heading, and it's something that we can keep revisiting.
Yeah.
So my question is, how's that going for you?
It's going well, actually. Ooh. Thanks.
All right, tell us the secrets, because we're all wondering.
I like it because it's a journey. Like, it's not becoming unoffended as if you've reached something. But it's a process of, choosing, when you have the option of becoming offended, actually choosing not to. And I actually, the reason that I say it's going great is because while I was away overseas, I gave my manuscript for my book to a developmental editor. So there are two types of editors. I didn't know this before. But you've got the editor who's the copy editor who will look at your grammar and look at your spelling and check you've got all your speech marks in place.
That one.
But it wasn't this person that I sent it to. It was the developmental editor. And the developmental editor is looking at your plot and looking at your descriptions and looking at how your characters talk and whether they each have their own voice or whatever. And so I got some feedback from the developmental editor, which was really helpful. And when I read through it, I went, oh, that is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
At the same time, I didn't necessarily agree with everything she said, and it was like I had the choice of getting a little bit like, what does she know? She hasn't researched it. She doesn't know about this.
She hasn't written this. Nothing.
And so this week I've started editing it, and I came to the one thing particularly that I thought, oh, I don't know I'm even going to be able to approach that. And I looked at it, and I read what she'd commented, and I went, actually, she's right. Mm. And so I was able to learn from what she said, and I was able to adapt it. But the temptation was there to think, she doesn't like it.
It's just like me. It's going to be a disaster.
She hates me. I should just stop now. Yeah, and it's like, actually,
insecurities come in, don't they?
Yeah. But really, I went, hang on. My first thought when I was reading this was, it's such helpful feedback. And I know that the challenge is to then humble yourself enough to go, yeah, okay, I'll give what you said a go, and hopefully that will improve the manuscript. And I really do think it did.
Wow. So. Yeah, I think, you're right. It's never easy in the moment, when we put our heart and soul into something, eh?
Yeah.
And we've laid it all out there on the table.
Yeah.
And really what we're looking for is someone to go, that's awesome.
Yes. And that's why I gave it to somebody who I didn't know, because I know that there are a lot of people here who would go, oh, you know, this bit or that bit, but just they'd also be a little bit subjective and think, oh, how's Denise going to take that? Whereas this woman doesn't know me from a bar of soap. And she was just like, you know, one chapter she's like, get rid of it. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
That's a whole chapter.
Do you know how much time I put into that?
Ooh.
But brilliant. Like, actually, so yeah. So I think the fact that I every now and then I have the option of getting offended with her feedback. And it's like, no, she's actually trying to help. Mm. And what she has said, and she said, you know, the nature of what she's doing, she said, if I'm not commenting on something, you can assume it's going well. But, you know, what she has commented on, she's giving me feedback to improve it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is I think that's a really hard place to be, Denise, in getting that critical feedback, you know. Mm. And yet it's a really healthy place to be, because it's where we learn what we need to learn. It's like the Johari window. I probably said the name wrong. You know, looking into what we don't know about ourselves.
Okay.
You know, and getting feedback from other people can be a tricky situation, because often we don't want to believe it.
But I think to do that, you have to be in quite a secure place. Like when I was young, I used to go to my friend and actually I used to say, you know, what do I need to be working on about myself? And she was quite taken aback and she never really knew what to say. But if she had a moment of honesty, she could have come up with plenty of things. But then I had a lot of years where there was no way I could ask anyone that question, because there was stuff going on.
Mm.
Now, you know, like I guess having sent this manuscript to the editor, it's a little bit like doing that. Like, you know, what can I work on here? So you have to have a little bit of stability behind you, that when someone pushes against you, you can actually stay standing and not just end up in a heap on the floor.
Yeah, so it's about our belief in what we're doing.
Yeah, and in who we are. Like if it's, you know, what can I work on about myself? Mm. Well, then you need to have a measure of, you know, I'm okay with who I am, and sure, there are bits that I can tweak, but it's not going to be a catastrophe if someone says what they don't appreciate about me.
Yeah. Often in friendships, you know, we can go to our friends wanting that feedback because they love us so much. Because they do, eh?
Absolutely.
They don't tend to go to the harder edges where our learning actually happens. You know, they won't pull out the bits. Or they may not even notice those bits too. Or they may uffy us in our bits that need changing, you know, because that's what friendships do. So I think, yeah, looking outside for those trusted people, I'm going to have to pay for them, Denise.
Well, the other thing is that when someone when someone says something that upsets you, there is the concept of there is a nugget of truth in there. Whether they're actually projecting their own stuff, whether it's their own stuff that they're projecting, and that the nugget of truth is actually about them, you have to weigh that up. But if they're saying, you know, you did X, Y, Z, well, there's going to be something that caused them to say that.
Mm.
So when you get upset, you could get offended, or you can actually go, now, hang on, what was behind them saying that? And you can actually choose to explore that and to learn and to grow from their comment. And, you know, if you can listen to people's feedback without shutting down, because I guess that's what being offended is, you just shut it out and go, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. So
you don't know, do you?
Yeah, so you lose a learning opportunity.
Yeah, true. And we need to be open to learning and becoming unoffendable. I think your blog is all about that. It's growing into who we are, strengthening those places in us that might be a bit weak, and yeah, having the courage to do that. So we're going to head into Shake It Out, Florence and the Machine. Maybe sometimes we need to shake some things out of us, Denise.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no eyes I can see nowhere. And all of the ghouls come out to play. And every demon wants his pound of flesh. But I like to keep some things to myself. I'd like to keep my issues drawn. It's always darkest before the dawn. And I've been a fool and I've been blind. I can never leave the past behind. I can see no way, I can see no way. I'm always dragging that horse around. All of his questions, such a mournful song. Tonight I'm gonna bury that horse in the.
That was Shake It Out. Hope that was good for you. Hey, we're back.
Shake it off.
Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Oh, there's a couple of singers right here in the studio. Okay, so we're going to look at Denise's blog, and this week's one is called Permission to Dream. I really like that heading. I think because... giving ourselves permission to dream is like daydreaming, or allowing ourselves to imagine again and drift off and explore our imagination. I'm quite interested in this because I think our daydreaming state is really important. It's really healthy for our mind, Denise. It's a natural way for our mind to relax and take the cares away when we drift off into imagination. And in our younger years, kids do this very naturally. You know, they drift off, and often you'll hear adults going, "Hey, get back here. Hey, stop daydreaming," you know. And often at school, I mean, especially in my younger years, I was often pulled up for, looking out the window and daydreaming. Unfortunately, back then, they didn't know a lot about trauma, and lots of kids, and this isn't a blanket statement, so let's just say that, you know, lots of our young kids who are full-on daydreamers and can drift off really easy, there can be trauma in the background why they are drifting off. So sometimes it can be a bit of a flag for us to notice why somebody is drifting all the time. But it is an extremely healthy state to be in, to daydream, because, like I said, kids do it naturally. They will drift off, and really their mind is taking a break. You know, and having a breather, and that's the way the mind does that, and it's very, very healthy for us. But unless you've got permission to dream, and you're talking about daydreaming and imagination, and how often do we actually sit in that these days and allow ourselves to do that? So maybe I'll let you carry that now, Denise, and just tell us, you know, kind of your feelings behind this blog and why you wanted to do this particular one, and go from there.
So a number of years ago, we went away as a family for a few months over to Peru, and when we got back, my husband went back to work, the kids went back to school, but I'd left my job before I went away, because we were away for 4 months, you know, plus give myself a couple of weeks either side. I was like, I'm going to be away from my job for 5 months, and that's a bit rough. Like, to get a temp in, they'll finally get their head around it, and then they get kicked out of there and I'm back. And I thought, actually, I think it's better to just stop and let someone else take on the role and just run with it. So I come back from being away, but then I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I just found myself, as the year went, we came back in the second half of the year, but as the year kind of was drawing to a close, I didn't know what I'd be doing. And it was, I just found myself getting lower and lower. And the others were all fine. They just got back to normal. But I was just like, well, what's my next thing? And the organisation we went with, they ran a weekend for a whole bunch of people, but we went along, and it was a debrief about sort of living in a different culture and assimilating back into home. But one thing that they said just really stuck with me, and it has stuck with me, right? Like, I couldn't tell you anything else they taught that whole weekend, actually. But there was this idea of, if you don't have something new to look ahead to, you just, you know, your emotions, well, you'll start going down. Because you have the natural, even if it's something negative, you have the natural, something happens, and then people like, oh, how are you? You know, how was that? And process it with you. But over time, that fades away. And so you start to go down, down, down. And they were saying, unless you find something else to look up to move into, you're just actually going to keep going down. And I realized that if I didn't find something new, that I could get actually, you know, quite depressed, which I wasn't at the state of being depressed at that point, but I was kind of getting close. And so that was really helpful for me. So, you know, I've had lots of friends and things that have been through transitions over the years, and I've been able to just encourage them with it, you know, be looking for something, anything that can be, it doesn't have to be a big thing, but just something that you can go, oh yeah, I've got this ahead. And so that's what came to mind. When I was daydreaming yesterday morning when I woke up, I was like, I have to write this blog. What is it going to be about? So basically, I think, you know, I've got a lot of practical friends and, you know, quite efficient people. Like, I'm the youngest of the family, so I was the dreamer of the family. I laugh because I think there was one lady who saw two of my children walking to school many years ago, and she said the oldest one was out there marching ahead and the middle one was behind him flying like an aeroplane. So I think there's some people more naturally fit into the dreaming category than others.
Definitely.
But I am a natural dreamer, and so I've got a lot of people who are just like, no nonsense, you know, efficiency, get it done, kind of people. And so when you throw ideas at them, they'll immediately evaluate and either toss it aside, or, you know, if it's something that they think they'll run with, then sure, they'll run with it. But I think the thing I was just wanting to challenge people with is, you know, we do actually use our imagination as adults, even if it's, what am I going to wear on Saturday night? What are we going to have for dinner? So when it's a practical imagination, we're okay with it. But it's that whole concept of just daydreaming and the seemingly ridiculous thoughts. We're like, oh, is that okay for an adult to have those sorts of thoughts? So I started talking about brainstorming and the fact in brainstorming, it's a good idea.
I love brainstorming. Yeah,
not to so evaluate good. Things, just get them out there. So
really... So tell us a little bit about brainstorming. Tell me what you know about it.
So when you're brainstorming, you can do it by yourself or with a group, but the idea is just get the thoughts out there without actually evaluating them. Just get them out. You can make the decision later whether it's a good idea or not, but, you know, ideas spark ideas. So just get the idea out, and then you might have another thought, another thought, another thought.
So it's not about getting it right or wrong. It's just about getting things out.
No, getting as many thoughts out as you can.
Yeah.
And then just look at them. And just, because I can remember once I was helping organise a camp and I had some crazy idea about, like, some big party. And then I had this crazy idea about, I don't know, something like, you know, hanging from the ceilings and doing all this really weird stuff. But what it actually ended up being is sort of like a jungle party. And like the two ideas, both of them seemed a bit extreme on their own. But once they, with this whole group of people, when we looked at it, we went, actually, that would be really fun. And so it became a themed party. So it became a combination of these two ideas that were both weird, actually came up with something really good. So when you allow yourself to have these crazy thoughts and not dismiss them straight away, just sit on them, they can actually join up with another thought and make something that's absolutely really cool.
Yeah, and I think that's like joining the dots, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I agree. Like, often I'll be thinking about, when I think about faith matters, I daydream heaps.
Yeah,
so it's probably still quite a natural state for me, but I don't quite recognise it like I used to, because I haven't got some adult going, hey, stop
wake
looking
up.
Out the water, stop looking out the window. What's the answer to the mess problem I just gave you?
Yes.
Wouldn't have a clue. Wouldn't have a clue.
Across far seas, I have settled and seen your heart for me, every bit of my being. If I'm in my bed in the depths, arise on the wings in the dawn, your love is evergreen, it's everything, it finds me in your arms. All I know, the skies are no blue, until I met you. Oh,
Yeah, so we're unpacking Denise's blog here. We started off with Becoming Unoffendable, which is the heading of her blog, but this one that she's talking about is called Permission to Dream. And, I like this bit here. There is one concept they taught me that has stuck with me. A natural consequence of transition is that you come off the high of whatever has just happened. I kind of wanted to talk about that. I guess we can recognise it when we look at people who are in the limelight and, you know, the centre stage and all the focus is on them, and then the crowd goes home and the roar isn't there and it's quiet and the lights are off. there's a real sense of coming down from that massive place of being seen and heard and acknowledged and maybe even loved to a quiet, I know that's an adrenaline rush. I know that the body has had you've been working on it, running on adrenaline, and so the body is highly strung and doing great, but it also has to come down from that, and that can feel quite like depression. It can feel like a really low mood. It's good for us to recognise and understand that is a natural process of when we've gone through something massive, that there will be a downtime. So it's negotiating what to do in the downtime.
Yes.
So we don't believe that we're something we're not, like we're heading into depression or that, you know, or that we let the negative thoughts come in, like, I did a really bad job, it wasn't good enough, the accolades aren't happening, I'm not being seen in what I did, and, yeah, it can be a dangerous track to go down.
Mm.
So we want to be able to take the highs and learn from them, and also maybe how do we negotiate those lows? I have some ideas, do you?
Well, the idea that I spoke about in this week's blog was the concept of lifting your eyes. Mm. So the concept that if you're looking down, you go where your eyes are. You
know, that's right.
If you come off a motorbike and you look at the drain, you're going to end up in the drain. If you're trying to, you know, you've got bright lights in the car and you're staring at the headlights coming your way, you're going to tend to veer your car towards them. So you want to keep your eyes away from them. Where your eyes are, that's where you'll go. So an encouragement if people are, you know, some people have had a really, these last few years particularly have been really rough for all sorts of reasons. And so if you've had a rough time and you, I mean, there's nothing wrong with processing that and going through a hard time, but if you kind of, you've been stuck and your eyes are stuck down and you can only see negative ahead, my encouragement was just to lift your eyes and start looking for something to kind of give you a vision and a hope for the future, because it's, if you can lift your eyes, then you'll actually lift where you're heading.
Yes, so good. I think it's a good analogy, actually, to lift your eyes, because you're going, when we're looking down, all we can see is the ground and all the dirt and, you know, we're kind of, everything's down. If we lift our eyes, we can, we get a whole different vision.
Yeah, and if you're looking down at the ground, opportunities might come your way, but you miss them because you're actually not looking up. You don't see them. They go past and you didn't even notice that they were there.
I agree, yeah, and, you know, even missing the smile of somebody can lift your spirits, or, you know, that somebody said hello to me or whatever it might be. If our head's down, it's not likely we're going to see it or even hear it as we go past people. And I think vision comes from the sights we see too. There was something I did many years ago with Dr. Diane DeVette, refocusing therapy, which is God-centered therapy, but she worked very much around our vision. And, you know, for me, I love to look out and see the horizon. I don't like to see things stuck in the way, blocking the horizon. I like to have a big view. I'm lucky from my house, been very blessed with a great big view, and I find that refreshes my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that if I'm in a built-up area and my vision can't, I can't get out there and see beyond brick walls or concrete or bland colours, I kind of don't feel that amazing. I feel stuck there. Yeah. I need to get somewhere where I can, I call it fresh air, so I can get some fresh air.
Yes.
So I can breathe and, you know, we can miss that feeling in us too if we're not connected with our needs and helping ourselves through the high times.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't know what to do for ourselves, we won't recognise the low as a natural coming down from something, and we might think there's something wrong with us when there's actually nothing wrong with us. We just need to keep going and, lift our eyes.
Did you have some other thoughts? You said you had some thoughts.
Laughter.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think laughter is a massive tool that we have, very natural. It sets off so many good Dr. Feelgood feelings in us. You know that you can trick your mind into believing that you're happy even when you're not,
can you? Well, that's a skill set I must learn.
I'm going to give you a psychology tip here. If you put a pen in your mouth,
yes, okay.
So you sit there. So she's already laughing. Okay, that's how it works. No, it doesn't make you laugh. But if you have somebody with you, it probably make you laugh. So there you go. Fixed the solution. That's the solution. But actually, the muscles in our mouth, in our face, you know, it's all connected. Everything. The body is connected, people. Don't ever forget that. There's nothing we do that the body isn't aware of. And so when we have a sour face and we're downcast, you know, the muscles are that way. But when we have a smile, everything lifts. And the psychology behind this is that because the muscles are pulled back in your face, your mind believes you are smiling even if you're not happy, and will release those Dr. Feelgood feelings even though you don't feel that way. So we can trick our brain into releasing good chemicals.
That's amazing.
That's from psychology, yeah.
So if this trick. Summer,
it's just a trick.
All the visitors to Raglan come here and everyone's walking around with a pen in their mouth and they think we're a little bit odd, it's like, no, we're just making sure we're happy.
Yeah, just a bit down today, can't quite make it happy myself. I'm just putting a pen in there.
I had a pen yesterday when the rain kept coming in its waves.
Yeah, well, I've tried it. It does bring a difference. I encourage you to notice yourself. Does your mood lift a little bit? So it's a bit of trickery for you. So from there, you might want to add some more stuff in that's real and you're actually doing for yourself. But, yeah, I think laughter is massive. Get online and read a good joke or, I love all the Dr. Feelgood little videos that I might see that make me laugh.
Videos?
Yeah, like just fun things, you know. They don't make – nothing amazing, but they help me to feel better.
One thing that I've noticed a few years ago, I was wanting to listen to some music so that I'd feel better, and I put some music on, and it's good to actually be aware of the lyrics of what you're listening to, because I put some music on, and the lyrics were quite – depressing. And so I went, I love the tune, but actually I found it was making me feel just as bad or worse. And so I actually ended up looking for, I mean, even Beach Boys, it was just like something that's upbeat and uplifting that I could put on and have a good time.
I've got something for you, Denise. Yes. You could go on Spotify for Faith Matters.
Wow, if only that was around all those years ago.
But I so agree with you, eh? Like putting something on can shift our, music. When I was younger, which wasn't so long ago, actually.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah, a couple of days ago. Yeah, some of the music I used to listen to was quite defiant. I loved it. You know, it gave me a sense of defiance,
yeah.
You know, like, ooh, I can sing this and this is what it means. And, you know, it was kind of like a war song or something and you feel like, ooh, I felt great singing that out. But, you know, as I got down the track a little bit, I realised some of that music was really fueling something within me that was causing, you know, more angst, more anger,
yes,
more annoyance, more defiance,
yep.
You know, because, you know, rage against the machine. Oh, you know, we want to push back on things and the injustice of whatever's going on around us, we'll find the music that'll come alongside that.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we know it, we're in agreement and we're heading down a track that is quite negative and, yeah, it's not going to, it's actually not going to teach us anything except for what we already know is probably we're upset and angry,
yes.
You know. So
yeah.
Music has a massive impact. We could do a whole session on that one, but you just need to notice in yourself, you know, with your own kids, some of the music they might be listening to.
Yeah.
Are they in a bad mood after they've been listening to that? Are they despondent?
Mm.
Are they withdrawn?
Yeah.
Or are they happy? Are they uplifted? Are they, you know, got a smile on their face? Is it feeding good stuff into them or is it actually feeding poison? Because there's some really poisonous music out there, Denise.
Yeah, there is.
I have to admit.
Another thing I was thinking as I was writing the blog, and I didn't put it in the blog because, you know, I want everybody to feel comfortable reading it, but I did want to bring it up here because we're talking about faith matters. There's an amazing psalm in the Bible, Psalm 121, and I had that in mind actually, and it didn't inspire the blog, but it's almost the blog inspired my thinking to it because I was talking about lifting up your eyes if you're going down, like lifting up your eyes and looking for sort of what might be next or opportunities. And there's Psalm 121 and it starts like this: I lift up my eyes to the mountains, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, now and forevermore. And so as I thought about that, that actually prayer is something like I did talk in the blog about, you know, we have the capacity to find hope and actually hope out that we can find. One of the places and one of the most enduring places is actually hope in God because He is unchanging. And so I just wanted to put that out there on this show, even though I didn't put it in the blog, was that actually, you know, when you're struggling and you're looking for a hope in the future, actually, you know, your Creator, the one who gave you purpose, knows exactly what you're created for and what would fulfill you and what would be an amazing next step. And so being in relationship with Him and just listening to His voice can actually be the thing that lifts you up out of that downward slope as well.
And like you say, Denise, I mean, you just read us you know, 121, and as you were reading it, I feel the peace of the words. So even when we have it spoken to us, we can feel that sort of, you know, as we come alongside the words, listen to them, listen, resonate with them, parts of us can settle. And just feel, you know, because it was beautiful. Beautiful psalm to read out. Thank you for reading it to us. And, yeah, we're just about there, Denise. So I'm going to play a couple of songs. And we've got Pastor's Corner coming up. And that's going to be an interesting one to unpack. I'm looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to having you back on next week with another blog that you're going to imagine as you're at home having
before
your
then.
Cup of tea. I don't know, something like that.
That'd be great.
Awesome, Denise. Have a great week.
Thank you. You and, too.
Yeah. Are you going to be around on Sunday?
Not this week.
I'm going to ask you what you're doing off air unless you want to do that. No. All right, then. Well, sure. We'll see you here next week.
When I need it the most, so I'm gonna keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely, times that it calls. There's days when a praise comes out easy, days when it all the strength I got. I'll bring my heart, fought, heartfelt, been through hell. Hallelujah. And I'll bring my storm tossed, torn self story to tell. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious, faithful. Trying to reach for the light. Yeah, the struggle keeps me on it, and it brings down the walls of my pride. 'Cause faith isn't proven like gold till it's been through the fire. Hey, hey. My head, heart, and hands are feeling it. That's when I'm lifting just a little higher. I bring my heart, thought, heartfelt, been through hell high.
that was Heart Fought Hallelujah by Brandon Lake. Awesome guy there. So, hey, we're heading into Pastor's Corner. We've got Pastor Roger in with us.
Afternoon, Marie. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's not morning. It's midday, so it is afternoon just. We're just heading into afternoon. And this is a really exciting part of the show that we're opening up called Pastor's Corner. And, yeah, I've been putting on social media that you can email in questions. And I really encourage people to do this. I know it's kind of strange to be emailing in, but sometimes that's the easiest way to get things that we want to know known without being known. So your name can stay confidential. The email is all lowercase, faithmatters98.1fm@gmail.com. I'll probably say that a few more times before we go off air today, but now I've given you all that little bit of information. And I've still got Denise in here too. Have I got you on, Denise? Where are we? There we go.
I'm still here.
She's here. And so with Pastor's Corner, I thought we would just talk about, things of faith and things in the community, anything Pastor really wants to talk about. It's over to you.
Well, yes, okay. Well, one thing that's been catching my eye as I come and go in and out of Raglan is the new artwork on the water tower, the water tank up on the corner, the mural that's taking shape.
Yay, finally.
And I think that's awesome that we're getting something really nice up there.
And, yeah, it's been needed for a while. It's going to bring some real colour back into for people when they drive into Raglan. It's always been a first thing we kind of see is our water tower.
And it's a beautiful spot up there. I often think, if you could just sit there and just take in, because you can see all the way around the peninsula, you can see out to the water breaking out at the bar. Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it almost is in the gateway to Raglan. So I think it's important what happens in that space. And I know there's been quite a bit of community input, and there's been some real thought gone into it, and our artist, our local artist Theo, is working away on that. I haven't actually personally met him yet, but I would like to. I'm planning on popping up there one of these Tuesdays.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you there. Just going to stop you there, because in the article it says he's had so many people talking to him. Roger, I'm not sure he'll stop his work.
Well, he's got
You might have to take him a coffee or something.
He's got special times on a Tuesday, every Tuesday from between 11 and 12.
Oh, there you go.
11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
That's good to know.
So that's the time if you're interested in what he's doing.
Good.
To go and have a look. And I guess, as a long-term resident here and a pastor in the town and so on and so forth, I feel as though it's really important what happens in the community and even the visual aspect of it. And one thing that I've always found a little bit frustrating is sometimes the amount of rubbish that people drop around, and even the graffiti and people are painting on other people's property. And I just feel as though that degrades the town. And I was really interested to read in the local rag that this guy actually started off as a bit of a rascal.
Yes, he did.
Out there doing his graffiti and under bridges and all the rest of it, and yet now he's turning that into something positive, because he's actually got a gift. And I think that's what's caught my attention around this, is that here's someone who's actually turning something, a gifting that they had, which was perhaps he was a little bit naughty and a little bit rebellious and putting graffiti around where he shouldn't be, but he's turning it into an art form that actually can really lift people's spirits. Because I don't know about you, but I remember sometimes when we're travelling, I remember when we were going into Rome, for example, on the train a few years ago when we were overseas, and I was just shocked at all the graffiti going into that city. Have you been to Rome, Denise? Did you see that?
Yeah.
I remember thinking, man, someone needs to clean this stuff up, you know. It just looked really I felt it really degraded a very special place.
Yeah.
Because Rome is an awesome city, and it's got a lot of history, and there should be a lot of value there, and the people that live there. And it's similar for Raglan. I reckon Whangaroa Raglan is a really special place.
Sure,
and I think the people that live here on the whole love the place. We love the you know, the atmosphere. We love the community. And I I just want to encourage people that are listening, let's lift the atmosphere of the place, like this artist guy. In the community, I know there's been a process, and you know that there's this group that's the Whangarei Raglan Destination Management Organisation. I know the community board have probably been involved in the council, and there's a whole lot of people that have worked together to bring something like this together. And I think that's the key. As a community, let's work together to lift the atmosphere and the tone of this beautiful place that we live.
I guess that's all our responsibility, huh, Denise?
I have a beautiful segue from that. You ready?
Yeah.
So this week, coming up, now I know we end up picking up a lot of things from America, but this week is the American Thanksgiving celebration, and you're talking about lifting the atmosphere of the place around here. And I think maybe the idea of Thanksgiving, whether we take on the significance of the day or not, is something that we as a community could learn from and look for opportunities to be thankful.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that is the whole concept behind the Thanksgiving day, the season that they have in America. I think it is, for them, it is in the autumn. And it's at the end of their harvest season, their summer season. And I think it comes from the pioneering times, the early days when people used to live on the land, and if their crops failed, their life was, they at risk. And if they had a good season and a good summer and good crops, then they would give thanks to God for his provision to them. And it's a principle in the Bible. But it's also a principle that they've adopted as a nation. And I guess it's something that, as a community, we need to we could adopt as well, isn't it? Just being grateful and thankful for the place where we live, the people that we're living amongst, and the community that we're a part of, with all the diversity and the different cultures and people that come and go here, I think actually creates an exciting place to be.
I was thinking one way we can do that in Thanksgiving, when we have more than enough, we've got the food bank, there's lots of gardeners out there, and one way of giving is to give out of what we've got. If you've got an overload of oranges or lemons or vegetables, maybe head up to the food bank and your Thanksgiving can be that way. Or maybe your Thanksgiving comes from just acknowledging somebody in the community and saying hello, and sitting down and having a chat and being part of being connected, because that's what community is all about. Yeah, our Thanksgiving can come in many different ways. You might want to pay for somebody's groceries while you're heading out of the supermarket. I want to be behind you if you're that person.
I had a thought the other day. I haven't actioned it, to be honest, but I had the thought, what if I went up to the cafe and bought one coffee and paid for two, and just said, I pay for whoever's after me and just pay for their coffee.
I'm walking after you. Me and Pastor Roger are going, slipstream right behind you.
What would happen? Like, would the next person go, like, some people need it and some people don't. So if somebody came up behind me and they needed, that was really helpful for them, that'd be awesome. But I kind of wonder if someone else came up after me and went, oh, well, I'll just pay for the next person's. Yeah. And then it kind of feeds down through until there's someone who's just like, oh, really? Thank you so much.
I know. There is a cafe, and I have read about a cafe where you can go in and you can pay for a whole meal or part of a meal or whatever, and they'll put the receipt on the wall. Yeah. And they have homeless people coming in. And you don't have to be homeless. You might be just hungry, like me right now. And they can go in there and use that receipt and get a meal for themselves. Yeah, I think Thanksgiving, or, they call it paying it forward. Or, I'd rather prefer to think about it as giving from our heart or extending who we are, because it helps us to grow as people when we give to others.
Yeah.
I think it makes us happy. I love giving. I wish I had lots of money to give, Denise. I'd just probably, I'd be terrible. It's probably why God hasn't blessed me with a whole lot.
Well, I don't know. I think it's interesting. Like, there's that concept of sowing and reaping, and I do laugh because when I was young, I was the youngest of the family, and so I used to give all my clothes away because by the time they'd come through me, there was no one else in the family to use them, and so we would take them to an op shop or give them to people who needed them. But it was really interesting, go on a few years, and all of a sudden I had all these friends who would just start giving me their clothes. Mm. And I found that really interesting, like, because I gave in clothes, I reaped in clothes. Mm. And so I think, you know, sometimes we think if we give, say we give plants away, that actually somebody should buy us something, you know, something quite different. But actually it tends to be sowing and reaping within the same area. And so, you know, if you're wanting God to give you lots of money so that you can give it away, well, maybe start small and be sharing what you have.
I do, Denise. This rule has not worked for me. I give. It's okay. I'm fine. Just relax. Everyone relax. I'm good as.
It is a principle in the Bible, if I can just butt in there.
This is why we have Pastor's Corner.
That actually, and you know, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive, like Denise was saying. And that as we sow, so shall we reap. Mm. And I think it is and actually I was with some of our youth last night and talking about some of this very stuff, really encouraging them to be bigger people, to be thinking of others, to be being generous towards others, which is, I guess, what we're talking about, just really lifting other people in our community. But I want to get back to this Thanksgiving concept. And one little thing that I experienced a couple of weeks ago, I was driving into Raglan, and someone had dropped a blue rubbish bag beside the road, probably blown off their trailer or something, and they maybe didn't notice. I hope it wasn't someone just chucking it out. But and then another car had driven over it, and the bag had ripped open, and then a couple more, and there was rubbish strewn all along the side of the road for about 20 or 30 metres. And I thought, oh, doesn't that look awful? I suppose I should do something about that. But anyway, I was busy. I carried on. And then an hour or two later, I went back and I noticed there was a guy there that actually, and I think he was probably a council employee or whatever, but he was cleaning it up. And it really made me think about the fact that some people sort of, might have been probably an accident, let's say it was just an accident, but some people do perhaps lower the standards, degrade our environment and our community, and other people pick it up. And I just was thinking that sometimes even the people that are tasked with these roles, and I think sometimes we take for granted the guys like on the community board and the work that they do, and the council workers and the guys that are actually always out there, you know, tidying up, mowing the lawns, doing bits and pieces, you know, the extreme waste guys sorting out the rubbish. I think we need to be appreciative and thankful for all those people in our community that are sort of lifting the place rather than, and even getting back to the graffiti, you know, some people go around painting on other people's property, but other people go around painting over it. And actually, it's so annoys me. I've actually done that a couple of times over the years.
Yeah.
Where I've seen graffiti that really disturbs me, and so I've gone out of my way to go and get some paint and paint over it, some crude thing or some degrading stuff. And I noticed even on the water tower a couple of weeks ago that someone had started to do a bit of their own graffiti on the, you know, on the base of the painting. I thought, well, but then the next day I came along and been painted over, and I thought, hey, that's cool. You know, there are people around us that share that heart. And, you know, I just want to put the challenge out there. Let's be the ones that pick up the rubbish instead of walking on. Let's be the ones that actually, if you notice a bit of graffiti, we can just paint over it, you know, and tidy the place up a bit for somebody.
We're laughing. Me and Denise are laughing. I know why I'm laughing, because I know Pastor Roger, and I've known him a long time, 25 years now, and honestly, I'm going to be honest here, I have seen our pastor, like, he will pick up rubbish. Before church, it's him outside picking up the little bits of rubbish that are floating around the school. he's always at us about picking up rubbish. And I've learnt this. I think this is great. I don't want to pass this by too quickly, because over those 25 years, I've learnt to see rubbish and pick it up and feel the responsibility of picking up rubbish. So thank you. You haven't known that you've done that.
Well,
but you have actually done that, and my home is tidier for it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I don't always pick up every bit of rubbish along the way. I mean, sometimes I, like everyone else.
Don't take away from it. You've done a great job. Well,
now and then I do, because I guess it's an underlying sense of a value of respect.
Yeah, I think so.
And thinking about the other people that are coming along behind, other people that, especially when we're a tourist town and we're proud of the place and want people to come here and enjoy it and not trash it, we've got to be the same, don't we? And we've got to think about the fact that we've got tourists coming here from all over the world. And let's make it a great place. And
the reason that I was laughing was I was imagining a typical farmer with, I don't know what your shed looks like, but I'm imagining that there's a whole heap of cans of half-used paint in there.
We're going to ask Cheryl this one.
No, but in saying that, you can go and paint over graffiti because you have the resources. Mm. Like if you've got a half-empty tin of paint, you can go and you've got that there, you can just go and use it. So it's not even that we all need to be doing the same thing, but each of us will have different resources that we have available to us, and we'll all actually see different things. We all have different ways of seeing the world. I can remember having friends over, and their issue for their kid was not allowed down from that table, and our kids were a little bit rat baggy, getting up and down, up and down, up and down, and I can see them going absolutely crazy, just trying to keep calm. Because our kids weren't living up to the standards they had in their household. And so you might see something that might be rubbish, it might be something quite different, that you're just like, that is not okay. And you can actually, because you see it, then perhaps you have the responsibility to do something about it, whereas someone else might not even notice that thing.
Yeah.
Or we can give ourselves the permission
to
take the responsibility.
Yes.
We didn't bring that up.
To pick up rubbish.
You have permission.
But just getting back to the graffiti one, I think we need to be a little bit cautious around painting over.
Yeah, I was going to mention
other
that.
Other people's property.
I was just thinking, we could have some neighbours chasing you down the road.
I could get arrested for graffiti myself in an attempt
so we don't want to do that.
To cover
maybe
it up.
Maybe ask first. We'll ask first before we go and cover it up.
Probably you just need to use a little wisdom around that one.
I agree. And
there are a couple of times, but I actually have done it because it so annoyed me.
I could imagine that. I can. And another thing we can do, look, we can take a little bag with us when we go down to the beach. A few people do this. And just as we're walking, pick up rubbish. And let's look after our beautiful place of Whangarei. It is an incredible place with incredible people. So we're going to head into a song and we'll be back real soon.
Thank you. not to be your brothers. I know you understand. 'Cause I've got dreams that can see.
You're tuned in to Faith Matters, and we're in Pastor's Corner right now, and we've been talking about, well, about community. We've been talking about the painting of the water tower, how we're looking forward to seeing how that looks at the end, and we've been talking about Thanksgiving and being thankful. And I know that Denise has a scripture that she's...
Well, we talk about Faith Matters, and I think, you know, if you're listening to us and you think, you know, how do you even start with God? Like, there's an amazing verse in the Bible that says in Psalm 100, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." And so if you're thinking, you know, I don't even know what I would do to make God listen to me, well, there's a really, really good key is just being thankful. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather, the sunshine. Thank you that we had rain yesterday for the plants, but even better that today's sunny.
Yeah, and it just the word itself, being thankful, lifts us because we tend to go to things that we are thankful for.
Yeah.
And so it is a sense of joy that rises in us. So God's clever, isn't he?
He gives us
things that are going to increase, not decrease us. So his word is amazing. What do you got to say about that, Pastor?
Yeah, I think being thankful is a real key, and it's something that's not always natural for us. And I think just being thankful for life and for our friends and our family and our community and each other. And for me, I'm really thankful to God for the church community that I love, you know, the people that come along to worship every week and honour Jesus. And it actually reminds us that, you know, God values us, and I think we need to be thankful for that value that he has places on us. Mm. And sometimes we don't realize it because life can be tough. We get, you know, ups and downs and things go wrong. But I guess the underlying reason why I'm a pastor is actually to get that sense of hope out there that, you know, God really does love us, and he wants the best for us. He wants to lift us up. We've been talking about that this morning, about lifting up our community, lifting up people, giving thanks for those that, you know, we know and love and that work hard in this community to make it a better place. But I think we also need to remember that actually it's right at the heart of God is that he wants to lift us up as individuals. He wants to take us from where we're at. And sometimes our lives can be full of rubbish, you know, like what we're talking about, rubbish on the road or graffiti. Sometimes our lives can look like that. Because we've come from, you know, different places and some hard places. But, you know, the Bible tells us that God sent his son actually to help us to be lifted up. So we can leave a lot of that stuff from our past and the rubbish and stuff that can hold us back and make us feel down in the past. And he wants us to move forward with a sense of hope and expectancy and realization that we're loved, we can be forgiven, he can clean us up like that guy cleaning up the roadside, you know, and we can be, you know, really proud of who we are, because in God, you know, he's making us a new person. That's what the Bible talks about, that we can all have that sense of hope because God wants to infill us with hope and his love and his forgiveness and put us on a whole new direction with our lives. So
yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, and he does. I can guarantee you that. He will set us on a new direction, and it will be far better than the place we're stuck in, I can guarantee. Yeah. Yeah. So are you going to leave any final thoughts there, Denise?
I actually have a completely random sidestep. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the different churches that are around and the different styles that, you know, different people are kind of relate in different ways. And it's been sitting on my mind ever since, because we just randomly said, you know, there's all these churches around Raglan, and we didn't actually have the information.
Nope.
And so I actually found out the information today, and so I would actually just like to let people know.
Yeah, sure.
So the church at Stewart Street down, the White Church down near the museum, that area, they meet at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and the Anglican Church up by the roundabout meet at 9:30, and the Catholic Church over James Street direction, they meet Saturday evenings fortnightly, and all their information's on their sign outside their church. So those are different options available if you're looking for a sort of perhaps a more contemplative service or something a little bit more traditional. And then we have got Surfside that meets at the school hall also at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and so that's where we are all a part of. And
do you want to talk about our speaker this Sunday, Roger? That'd be Connor.
Yeah, we've got something a little bit different this week. We've got a visiting speaker from Newcastle, Australia. And he was a young man that grew up in across the harbour at Te Akau, and
a
farming family over there. And he used to be a part of the local Raglan youth group scene, probably some of the older family people might remember. He's been gone now for a number of years. He's been based in Newcastle there working with youth and sending them out around the world to do stuff. And he's actually even recently been working in Ukraine, which I think he will speak a little bit about, just to try and bring some hope into the people over there that are getting hammered, as we know, by the Russians. And so he's done work all around the world, and he's a local guy, and we're looking forward to what he's got to say. And he's just a good-hearted young guy. Grew up on the farm over there, and now he's in a, based in Australia, but working all around the world in some of these challenging places. So that's Dave Stevenson, and that will be happening on Sunday morning.
I've heard him before. He is good. He'll bring something really relevant, I'm sure.
He's a real ball of energy.
He is. Yeah. He's fun, and the whole service is going to be great.
Yeah.
So I really encourage you, 10 a.m., Raglan Area School, in the hall there. Great worship, great hospitality, which means Raglan roast and some home baking. I did not put that out there too much, eh? Because like it is good.
I like to have the Odie-based ones, and then I pretend it was porridge. It was my breakfast.
Yeah, and I know he makes that. And we shouldn't talk too much about it. Okay. No, you must come for the worship and the good word. Not just our great hospitality. And I just also wanted to talk about for next week, me and Denise will be back, but also at 1 o'clock I'm going to have Jackson Umberto coming on, and they're going to be talking to us about marriage. I'm pretty excited about this because I'm all for it, and I really want to hear how we can encourage marriage, how we can support it, and maybe some tips on how to get through some of the more tricky times that we might come across as we journey through living together as one. So Jackson and Umberto, they are an amazing couple. They have a real passion in this area. They have walked the hard journey of many turbulent years of difficulties in marriage and have worked through it. And they have an incredible story to tell. Great people of faith. Can't encourage you enough to tune in and get some really good tips on marriage and everything in between. So I want to thank Pastor Roger coming in today. Pastor's Corner is once a fortnight on Faith Matters. Again, I encourage you to email in any questions you might have about faith, God, Christianity, or anything at all. You can email faithmatters98.1fm@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can connect in with me on Facebook through my Faith Matters posts or through my Marie Harworth posts. Put my name out there. Hey.
Why not?
Okay, well, thank you, Roger. I was just going to ask, it would be great if you could pray for our community before you go. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, well done, Marie and Denise. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, be a pleasure to pray a blessing on our community. Mm. So, Lord God, we just thank you for this beautiful place, Whangarua, Raglan. Thank you for the people that come and go here. We thank you for those that have got a real heart to lift the atmosphere in this place. Mm. We just pray for our awesome local artist, Theo, as he works away on the mural on the water tower. We pray that you'd inspire him. There would be something that would be just right for Raglan, that would embrace our heritage here with all the different cultures and also the Christian heritage that we have here. And I just pray a blessing. I just want to declare a blessing over this community, over this town. And I just pray that, Lord God, over and above all our efforts, you would lift us up in this place, and that your name would be made known here. We thank you for your awesome love and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, folks, that's us. We're heading out. Be kind and gentle to self. Look out for people in the weekend. Shed a smile. Say hello. It's a great place to be in Whangaroa.
Shepherd, and he is everything I need, so I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me, he said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know he has good plans.
my victory. Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters, he quiets the storm inside of me.